Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four exciting, talented, extravagant players of the game. And seated on my right, we have that outstanding comedian, Paul Merton, and seated beside him, a comedy performer and writer, Neil Malarkey, and seated on my left, representing the distaff side, that lovely, entertaining comedian, presenter, Sue Perkins, and beside her, another comedy performer and also a comedy writer, that is Tony Hawkes. Will you please welcome all four of them? Thank you. Beside me sits Charlotte Davies, who's going to help me with the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the beautiful ancient Theatre Royal in that lovely seaside resort of Brighton. And as you can hear, we've got a vociferous Sussex audience just waiting for us to start. So we begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, here's an odd one to start with. All things bright and beautiful. Oh, yes, you've got it, haven't you? 60 seconds as usual, and you start now.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small. That hymn was used by James Herriot to write a couple of his books about being a vet in the Yorkshire Dales. Is Brighton a beautiful place? Well, of course it is. You only have to walk down by the seafront, look up at the architecture, a lot of its Regency, breathe in the air that comes from the briny surface that rolls in waves against the shore. Walk along the pier, perhaps dressed as a woman. It's Friday night. Why not? Be challenged. Thank you.
Your friend Neil Malarkey has challenged.
Well, sorry, we were talking about things bright and beautiful, and you dress as a woman is not bright. Or beautiful.
I beg to differ.
I think seeing Paul work along the beach, you know, dressed as a woman would be something really quite beautiful. The,
You've picked me up twice by accident. Yeah.
And the shock you had when you discovered the truth. Anyway, yeah. Neil, I don't think he was deviating sufficiently from the subject. Which
he was deviating somewhat, but...
He was deviating, but he was deviating, but it wasn't... I mean, Dolly Brighton is not devious, is it, to do that? No, I think you have the benefit of the doubt, Paul, and you keep the subject, and there are 32 seconds available, all things bright and beautiful, starting now.
Max Miller's costume was bright and beautiful. I'm so pleased there's a statue being put up to him at the other theatre just down the road from here, the Brighton Dome. He was a fantastic comedian. Nicholas no doubt remembers him well. He'd come walking onto the stage and he'd say...
Sue, challenge.
Repeat of walking. He was walking along by the sea.
That's right, he was. You were walking beside the sea and you were breathing in the air, and now you're walking down there. So Sue Perkins, listen well, and she's got in, and she gets a point for a correct challenge, of course, takes over all things bright and beautiful, and you have 20 seconds starting now.
Whilst walking by the sea, I came across a rather strange she-creature, which I approached and noticed it was Paul Merton, wearing clogs and a tight A-line skirt, which for my money neither suited the beautiful curve of his leg, which resembles something approaching an upturned bottle of fine champagne. I said, away with you, sir, you can't possibly get trades tonight, but for sure there was a huge...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Sue Perkins. And end of that round, she has a lead over Paul Merton and Neil and Tony, who's yet to speak, actually. That's the situation as Neil takes the next round. The Fountain of Youth. Looking at you, I can see why it's been chosen for you. And there are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Were the Fountain of Youth to exist, would it be wise to visit this place? Youth is overrated, surely. With age comes experience, nostalgia. I'm 67, you know.
I'm older than that, but I don't say nostalgia.
Well, that's
well,
the
point. I say nostalgia, I don't say what you say.
Nostalgia is what you get when you're old.
But don't you remember when nostalgia was pronounced nostalgia?
isn't isn't nostalgia when you look back wistfully about food?
Yes. So you're just, I mean,
well, it's deviation from language
as we understand it. Right. Yes, we accept that, Paul. So you have the subject, The Fountain of Youth, and 47 seconds starting now.
Nicholas washes his underpants in the Fountain of Youth. That's why they look absolutely pristine and wonderful, as if he'd bought them yesterday. In fact, they're army issue. They're demob pants. He's been wearing them.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of pants.
There were too many pants.
I thought I had underpants first time. Underpants, then pants.
You did?
Yeah.
Yes. How right you are.
Yeah.
How clever you are. Oh.
It's like I've played the game before, isn't it?
So, and thank goodness I listen as well.
Yes, thank goodness you're here. Yeah. Best chairman we've got, best chairman we've got.
You couldn't get half your laughs if I wasn't here, could you?
I'd buy a budgie.
Seven seconds are still available. Incorrect challenge, Paul. A point to you, and you keep the subject. The Fountain of Youth, starting now.
He is an extraordinary figure, our esteemed chairman. When you see him walking down the promenade, a little glint in his eye, and ladies of a certain age, those born about 1697, give him a look, as if to say, if I was to perhaps fall in love.
The Sue challenge.
I withdraw, so I thought it was about to be a hesitation, but there wasn't.
And he was teetering on it, but didn't quite get there.
Yeah, but a teeter isn't one.
No,
so
that's
I
right.
apologise. So, goodbye.
Paul, you still have the subject.
Yes.
Another point and 23 seconds on the Fountain of Youth, starting now.
One way to stay young is to enjoy what you do. That's a recipe for success, but it's not always easy for us to be employed in a job that we particularly like. I worked for the civil service for 3 years, from 1977 through to...
So challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, it was, because you realised it's a mistake then. Right, Sue, you have 10 seconds available, and a point, of course. The Fountain of Youth is with you, starting now.
The Fountain of Youth is in Saltdean, and therefore the residents have decided to keep it an ultimate secret. No tourist must venture there and partake of the healthy waters which bestow upon those who drink them.
So Sue Perkins was speaking then as the whistle went, and an extra point for doing so. And she's taken the lead, one ahead of Paul Merton, and three ahead of Neil Malarkey and Tony Hawkes. Tony, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is, there's nothing like a dame. And, of course, it is, while we record this, the pantomime season, so it's very apt. And will you tell us something about the subject in this game, starting now?
There is nothing like a dame. It was a song taken from South Pacific, written by Hodges and Rogers.
What's in this water? Stop him taking absinthe.
Yes. I do remember Hodges and Rammstein. They were a deviation from...
Rodgers and Hammerstein, was it?
It was Rodgers and Hammerstein,
Hodges,
yes.
Hodges and Rodgers and Hodges and Rodgers. No.
So well, he was known as Hodges to his mate. No. Hodges Hammerstein, they called him.
You can't get out of it that way.
No, I can't, can I?
Paul, you have the subject, you have a point, you have 54 seconds. There's nothing like a dame, starting now.
It's one of those songs that you expect to hear in musical theatre. Giles Brandreth, who sometimes does this show, was in a show...
Tony, you got back in again.
Yes, a repetition of show.
Yes, indeed there was. So you've got Nothing Like a Dame back with you. 48 seconds, starting now.
And Hammerstein, of course. And what we all know about this particular piece of...
Paul Challenge.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he said Anne Hammerstein as if to indicate that Hodges, Rogers and Hammerstein had been South Pacific, which, of course, is deviation, because Hodges had nothing to do with it.
Where was Rogers?
I think you're struggling a bit on that one.
I thought he was brilliant.
Well, I think we should give you a point, because the audience enjoyed what you said, but we knew what he wanted to say.
Yes.
He slipped up. He did an alliteration there on the words, and so we give you the benefit of the doubt, Tony. You keep the subject. Okay. You have a point. You have... There's nothing like a dame. You have 42 seconds, starting now.
It was written in a period when they were not politically correct. It includes the lyrics, nothing looks like a dame, nothing cooks like a dame.
Sue Challenge. Two nothings, but it's on the card,
yes,
so you
is.
Can't have it.
So what I've done there is another spectacular own goal. I'm going to keep on whacking them in my own net until we finish here, and then I shall leave under a blanket.
You don't need to. We love having you. Your contribution's immeasurable.
He started again. Help me.
Another point to you, Tony. 33 seconds. There's nothing like a dame, starting now.
As we perform on this stage at the Theatre Royal Brighton, the set behind us reveals that Aladdin, a pantomime, is here. Dame, of course, is a crucial figure in this particular form of entertainment, of which I've no doubt most of the audience have come and supported in their loyal way that they are likely to do, even though they'll find it dreadfully.
Neil Challenge.
He just looks like he's going to expire.
It does look like that, doesn't it?
It does.
I must say that
I don't want his blood on my hands. That's all I care.
I must say that is the joy of watching Just a Minute recorded. He did look as if he was going to expire. He was keeping going with tremendous nervous energy expressed on his face. And, Neil, thank you for drawing our attention to that.
Right.
We all saw it, actually, but you got
a
laugh.
That was a medical intervention.
But you got a very good laugh for your interruption.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So we give you a bonus point, because the audience enjoyed what you said. But Tony gets a point because he's interrupted. He keeps the subject. With 15 seconds to go on, There's Nothing Like a Dame, starting now.
I do voiceovers. Like Dame Judy Dench or Dame Peggy Ash.
Paul Challenge.
It's too slow.
You changed that one, didn't
you?
You
were going
to go a repetition of Dame to too slow.
No, it's going too slow. He's drawing out.
Is that your challenge?
Yeah.
No, he did repeat Dame, but it's too late now.
No, but that's on the card.
Oh, that's on the card, of course.
Yes.
It is. It gets you sometimes,
yes.
Right.
It's a Dame, Peggy Day, you know.
He didn't actually come to a halt, so
no.
I think he was illustrating something,
was
and
he?
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He keeps the subject. 9 seconds. There's Nothing Like a Dame. Tony, starting now.
Dame, of course, is another word for women.
Sue Challenge.
Repetition of course.
Yes, you did say of course before.
Yeah, it says it all the time.
So, Sue, you've gone in this time with 7 seconds on There's Nothing Like a Dame, starting now.
I do enjoy pantomime, but I find of late the whole genre has changed, whereupon once upon a time you would...
Tony Challenge.
Well, I was going to say repetition of a pun, but whereupon is one word, isn't it, you see?
Yes, whereupon is one word.
But was it grammatically faulty?
No, it wasn't.
We'd be here all night.
It was those keen, sharp challenges.
We'll let it go.
A keen, sharp challenge was incorrect, so he's given you another point, and you only have 1 second to go on This Nothing Like a Dame, Sue, starting now.
I like a horse.
So Sue Perkins was again speaking as the whistle went, and for other points in that round she's moved forward. She's now 3 ahead of Paul Merton, and she's 4 ahead of Tony Hawkes, who's leapt forward, and Neil's just behind him. And Paul, I think it's your turn to begin. So the subject now is The End of My Tether. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I find it very difficult to reach the end of my tether. I have an extremely long tether. It's one of the longest tethers in this part of England. And I walk down towards the end of my tether, and I think to myself, I'm going to need a packed lunch for this one, because it's a hell of a hike. Put your big sturdy boots on, 10 miles, you're still only halfway up the tether, then you think to yourself, I'll have myself a nice sandwich.
No chance.
Did you say yourself more than once?
I'm not answering questions at this stage until I've seen my lawyer.
He repeated another word, but not yourself.
Oh, you know, that one he repeated. That was repetition.
No, he didn't repeat that one. He repeated another one, which
that
I can't
one.
Tell you about. So, because
have you forgotten what it was?
Yeah.
I know what it was.
Yeah.
Yes. You keep out of it, Nicholas. You let us do it. Trying to get in on our act,
you? Paul, you have 40 seconds on the end of my tether, starting now.
While working for Barnum Circus, I was tied up next to the lion cage, and it was awful. I had enough rope...
Sue Challenge.
Slight hesitation. Mime was being
involved. No. I will give you hesitation on that one, and give you 34 seconds at the end of my tether, starting now.
It was while interrailing in Europe I came across the end of Paul's tether. It had stretched some 300 miles across the Channel and through the incredible wastes of northern France and onwards to the other bit of geography that I never studied in Europe, next to France, the one on the right.
Neil Challenge.
I think, try as she might, she did say Europe twice.
Yes. 18 seconds, Neil, the end of my tether, starting now.
At the end of my tether is a small chipmunk called Phil. Such fun we have together, his tether pulling as he goes to a small place called Pole.
Oh, it was a hesitation, then.
Yes, I'm afraid it was.
Yeah.
So, Paul, you're back in on the tether.
Yep.
With 7 seconds to go, at the end of my tether, starting now.
My tether is made of leather, and I think that's how it should be. If it was made of felt, it...
Tony Challenge.
Yes.
No!
Repetition of made?
Yes, yeah. Made of, quite yeah. Right. 2 seconds, you've got him with 2 seconds to go. Tony, on the end of my tether, starting now.
My tether is so enormous.
So Tony Hawkes is then speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point. He's moving forward very rapidly. He's now equal with Paul Merton in second place, two behind Sue Perkins and just ahead of Neil Malarkey. That is the sequence, that is the order. And Neil, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is All Mod Cons. 60 seconds starting now.
All Mod Cons is a wonderful album by The Jam. Those boys from Woking, led by Paul Weller, sang their hearts out. What crabar!
Sue Challenge.
I was about to list the tracks on the album. What crabar? It's a place in Woking.
Sue, what is your challenge?
That he was imitating the mating cry of the bull chaffinch, which isn't part of the English language.
No, it actually isn't the mating cry of the bull chaffinch, because I've heard it.
Bet you have, the old roué.
So within the rules of just a minute, what was your challenge?
Hesitation. It was a sort of deviation from English language. It was a deviation from sense.
I think he was trying reproduce. Right, I was looking. I think he was trying to produce the sound that they did make, that particular pop group did. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you.
Nicholas, have you ever listened to an album by The Jam? Did they ever do this?
It was Crable Bar.
Well, you play it backwards, it sounds exactly like that.
Yes. And my gramophone was running down at the time. So. Now, listen, Colin, Neil hasn't played the game as often as the rest of you, so give him the benefit of the doubt.
English. English isn't my first language.
Really? Right. 49 seconds, all mod cons with you, Neil Malarkey, starting now.
Other Jam records.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of Jam.
Jam. 47 seconds. All mod cons starting now, Tony.
Brighton is famous for its mods and rockers, certainly during the 60s. Now, if one of the mods was to be offending...
Neil Challenge.
He looks uncomfortable again. But mods is on the thing. He repeated mods.
Mods, repetition of mods.
Oh, mods, plural. Thanks very much. Yeah. He said mods, plural. And mod cons is the thing. I knew that.
Yes, repetition. Repetition of mods. That's very good, Neil. So you've got the subject. Time starts now.
This is how I run the show. I let them have their head we get as many laughs as possible. And, Paul, we give you a bonus point for that because I enjoyed it. You have the subject, Neil, you've got the correct challenge via Paul. Yeah. And 39 seconds, all mod cons starting now.
Cons, of course, means convicts. Those who are modern are mod cons. They use iPods, mobile phones, grilled chicken. This is the way...
So, challenge.
It's not really a challenge, more a question. How would modern convicts use grilled chicken?
Well...
As an assault weapon.
Well, no, not an assault weapon. This is...
It's a means of escape.
They want to get away. They don't want to use a sandwich because they have wheat issues. They want a low carb diet.
Stop going on.
Grilled chicken.
Listen. You want another point? You've got it. And you have 28 seconds on all mods cons starting now.
Should you meet a mod con, don't say hello. Merely wink in a
Sue challenge.
Hesitation.
That's hesitation. Yes, Sue. So you got all mod cons, and you have 22 seconds starting now.
I was once conned by a mod who said, "Jump on the back of my moped, wear a parka, you'll look cool." And so I did. And then people started spitting at me, and there was an enormous target on my back, which people used to fire missiles in Croydon.
Paul challenge.
A repetition of people.
People. Yes, there were too many people there, I'm afraid. 10 seconds are still available. Paul, tell us something about all mod cons starting now.
Well, the album that Mr. Malarkey refers to by The Jam features many wonderful tracks like Down in a Tube Station at Midnight or A Bomb in Wardour Street. Oh, how we dance!
So, Paul Merton was speaking then as a whistle weighing gain that extra point. He's moved forward. He's still 3 points behind Sue Perkins. He's just ahead of Tony Hawkes, and a few points ahead of Neil Malarkey. And, Tony, I think it's about time you started again. The subject now is, oh, a lovely one, hot potato. 60 seconds starting now.
When I was at school, we had a PE teacher who told us to treat the basketball like a hot potato. He meant that he wanted us to pass it quickly. Unfortunately, we ate it. But that's his particular tragic thing that happened in his life. He went on to become something else. I won't tell you about that now.
Well, he just descended into drivel, isn't it? Lots of he's, repetition of he did this. And he did that.
Yeah,
this.
You did have so many he's. We let one or two go, but I mean four. Yes, all right, Paul. Benefit of the doubt. And there are 41 seconds available. Hot potatoes starting now.
I read in the paper the other day, you're more likely to have a heart attack in a hospital than in a snack bar. So now
No!
Oh,
no!
Tony, you challenged
yes,
that.
I think there was a slight hesitation.
I think it was. In 36 seconds available, Tony, a hot potato starting now.
A hot potato is a potato that's extremely attractive to other potatoes. Perhaps Brussels sprouts also in the greengrocers might lean across and say, wow, that's a hot potato, baby. Look at the way it's winking at me. Perhaps after the shop closes, we can get together and make a salad or something like that.
Paul Chandler.
Sorry, is this a Brussels sprout saying all this? You don't get Brussels sprouts in salads.
Oh, I eat them all the time.
Brussels sprouts in salads?
I love raw Brussels sprouts.
They're in a salad?
Well, in a salad, yes.
This one's really? Leaning over as well.
Yeah, and winking.
Well, I've no evidence for the right or wrongness of that. I just know you don't find them in salads.
Well, yes, you do. You can put them in a salad. There's
Brussels
no reason.
Sprouts
Brussels sprouts.
You cut off the end and cut them up and put them in a salad.
Really? Instead of, with a hot potato?
Yes. It's like, it's a
I
little bit
say,
like
I like the way this is going.
Anyway,
I'm with you on this, Nicholas.
You can use them, and I definitely use them, because I love my raw Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
I don't know what it says about me, but there are the facts that I've revealed for the whole nation to know.
It says you're barely civilised.
It means that Tony has another point, and 14 seconds, hot potatoes starting now.
I haven't revealed this thus far in the show, but I was brought up in Brighton, and I used to walk home from a night out on the tiles, past Spudulike, and have a hot potato when completely arsed. That's how much I did.
Right, so, Tony was speaking as a whistle. When did I gain that extra point? We have an interesting situation because we're moving into the final round, actually. So I'll give the situation as we do that. Neil is lagging just a little in fourth place, but he hasn't been quite as regular player as the others. But we have 1 point separating Paul Merton, Tony Hawkes and Sue Perkins in that order as we go into the final round. And Paul, we're going to ask you to take it. The subject is the icing on the cake. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The icing on the cake when I come to record Just a Minute is to be able to sit and chat with all the competitors afterwards as we lie around the hotel discussing how the programme may have gone.
I think he's ready to lie around the hotel already.
So, Tony, your challenge, I must know for the rules.
Yes, I think a deviation.
A deviation or hesitation,
English
whichever you like. 49 seconds, Tony, the icing on the cake starting now.
The icing on the cake in this show is when you are interrupted, but Nicholas gives you a bonus point. Such a lift to the morale, that is. Almost like having icing.
Paul Towers.
Well, if you're interrupted, Nicholas doesn't give you a bonus point. He gives a bonus point to the person
he's
who
going
doesn't
to now,
interrupt
you watch.
Him. You yourself have been talking on the subject and you keep the subject, that's the point you get and you keep the subject, but that's not a bonus point.
No point, but you made your point. Very clever.
Yeah.
And very shrewd and absolutely true, actually. So you have a point for that.
Thank you.
Correct challenge. And you have 38 seconds. You tell us something more. He is correct and you're not running the show.
Hello. Nicholas, there's one of you and there's about 700 of them. And some of them are from Salt Dean.
One of them's got a rope.
Paul, it was a correct challenge, a very clever one too. So you have 38 seconds. You take over the icing on the cake, starting now.
This show is represented by 40 years of appearing on the...
Neil challenge.
Repetition of
No, no, oh. Neil's mic came on first. It's your challenge.
Actually, I don't know that I did, but I was thinking of saying... He repeated show, didn't he?
He did it before.
He said show in the previous bit.
That's right, yes, you did. He talked about the show before. Whoever presses their buzzer first, a light comes on in front of me. It was yours, Neil. So correct challenge. And you have the subject.
Calm down, all right, you know. We've all had a drink. Let's just have a laugh together. We'll go back and lie down in the hotel later, all right?
Not with you, if you don't mind.
you've changed the tune.
Yes.
35 seconds for you, Neil. The icing on the cake, starting now.
The icing on the cake refers to the pièce de résistance, that final detail without which nothing would be complete. It's the final thing.
Tony Challenge.
Did he say final before? Repetition of final?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
And there we are. But it was his way he was doing it, his animated delivery.
That's his business, I keep out of
it. So, Tony, you have a point, the subject. 23 seconds, the icing on the cake, starting now.
Children sometimes eat the icing on the cake and then leave the sponge bit. Very cruel thing to do to the mother who spent the time making that particular delicacy for them to...
Sue Challenge.
Slight stumble over delicacy? Deviation from the word delicacy?
I don't think it's cruel to be only part of a cake.
Yeah.
That can't be called cruel.
No, it was cruel to the mother who made the cake. I accept Tony's premise.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I think it was very unkind of that child not to eat the cake.
Is this something you want to talk about, Nicky? Something that happened to you maybe when you were much younger?
Such tension for knowing which way this adjudication will go.
Benefit of the doubt to Tony, the icing on the cake, 12 seconds, starting now.
I haven't made any cakes for years. It's very tiring. You've got to put them in the oven and watch the time and make sure everything's all right. Icing them afterwards is also particularly difficult. I don't get involved in that sort of thing. Leave it to...
Well, they all got points in that round, and the final situation was Neil Malarkey, who hasn't played quite as often as the others, finished up in a very fine fourth place. Did very, very well. He was a few points behind Paul Merton, who was in a third place. He was only 1 point behind Sue Perkins, who was in second place, and she was 4 points behind Tony Hawk. So we say, Tony, this week, you... It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game. Paul Merton, Sue Perkins, Tony Hawks and Neil Malarkey. I also thank Charlotte Davis, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle very well. And also we're indebted to our producer, Talusha Gilani. And we are very indebted to Ian Messiter, who thought of this amazing game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience at the Theatre Royal in Brighton, who seem to have enjoyed themselves. We've enjoyed ourselves. So from the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes!